Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, Gamertag Radio, we have brand new designs. Yes, brand new designs at our store. Take advantage right now. Go to store.gamertagradio.com. That's store.gamertagradio.com. Brand new t-shirts, hoodies, stickers, posters, and so much more. Go ahead and support GTR.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1012. This is your host, Danny, and we're going to continue our coverage all about next gen. So this one is Daily Conversations. Once again, I'm going to call Paris, and we're going to be talking about PlayStation 5 specs reveal from today. Let's go.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Hello.
Hey, Paris. What's going on, man?
What is going on, man?
Nah, man. Another Daily Conversation. Is this considered a podcast emergency once again? It's been now two. It's been two this week.
Yeah, I guess so, right?
You know what I've been noticing? That I think ever since this whole coronavirus thing that's been going on, everybody's home and everybody are working from home too, there's been more news now. More than ever, like, what's going on here, man?
I think they know people are paying attention on social media, so they're announcing all this stuff now,
Yeah, that is true. So we had daily conversation a couple of days ago, which was like an emergency podcast recording, because we had no idea that was going to happen about Xbox Series X. But today, we watched the live stream from Sony about the PlayStation 5. This was more, again, about the specs and everything. And it was Mark Cerny that did a presentation and everything. We're going to talk about that. Paris, I'm going to keep it real, man. Like, I said the same thing about the last thing about the specs reveal, too, from Xbox Series X. All these spec stuff is not for me at all. Like, there is a crowd that just don't care about that stuff. They're excited about the console, right? But I think the majority of us are just waiting about the price and about the games. That's what I care about more. You know, I get the whole features and power. I totally get that, you know. But I watched this, and I had an idea, too. It was going to be the same exact thing about from Xbox to and Sony. Like, same exact thing. I wasn't too thrilled, man. It was very boring, man. I think, in my opinion, I watched a couple of the content creators that went to Redmond to see you know, stuff about the Xbox Series X. I think their video, and it was very entertaining watching their videos because it was funny. And, you know, even people like me that are not into specs watched that and be like, oh, man, this is cool. You know, so I don't know. In my opinion, I think Sony made a mistake of kind of hyping this up. I think they should have said something like, this is what's supposed to be the GDC presentation, but, you know, duplicate got canceled. We're going to do it on live stream. You know, at least that would have been cool. But do you agree with this, or you think they did the right way for them to just hype this up and have this presentation like this with Mark Cerny?
I I agree and I disagree at the same time in this respect, that I knew this is what it was going to be going in. The second I saw them say Mark Cerny, system architect, basically doing an architect, you know, a spec reveal of mm-hmm. the PlayStation 5. Mm-hmm. In my head, I'm like, this is going to be very dry. It's going to be very technical. The fact that this was originally slated for GDC, that's exactly what this presentation was. This was a presentation for developers more than it was for the general public, I feel. Mm-hmm. They could have gotten away with, like, I have the spec sheet right in front of me. They would have been better off just giving this to Digital Foundry and just letting them do it as far as here's the specs and just basically what you're saying, kind of what Microsoft just did. I think that would have come off better for the public than having Mark Cerny do it. But the nerd in me freaking loved this. I loved it because he broke it down to a very technical level and really explained the reasonings and their thinking for doing certain things. So I can, as a tech nerd, I can appreciate that. But at the end, you know, I was doing the live stream this morning. I kept saying it multiple times. I understand that the vast majority of people are going to be bored to tears watching this. And that was the general sentiment that we saw from social media and people that was on the stream this morning. They were bored. They weren't like, this isn't what I was showing up for. I wanted more glamour and glitz to go with this. And I do agree with you that Microsoft's approach was more fun. It made it, it broke things down more in simple terms. It was great that, you know, you got Richard from Digital Foundry to give you kind of a technical overview. Mm-hmm. And then you also had Austin Evans have kind of a fun video. He's on campus. He has the hardware. He's breaking it down and he's talking about it that way. I think that played out better for their reveal versus what PlayStation did. Mm-hmm. But with all that said, this reveal of the PlayStation 5 spec wise is pretty much what I thought it was. And I told you I was going to wait to tell you why. I actually think PlayStation has the advantage here going into the next gen with their hardware, with what their hardware is going to be versus what the Series X is going to be. And I mean, I don't know if you want to jump into that right now or break down with the specs
well,
or what.
Yeah, well, let me say one more thing. One more thing before we go to the to everything else. Like, I think I'm excited for next gen. I'm excited for Sony. I'm excited for Xbox because competition is going to be good for us, man. Now everything is out. Specs is out. It's basically kind of the same thing. You know, I know you mentioned this too on the stream. But now what I want now is games. Show us that now. Everything Xbox has been doing this whole specs now for like a while now. And I like that they've been open. And I'm glad that Sony is now talking about it because I was a little bit worried. Like, man, why are they being so, you know, so quiet about this, man? I think it's time to talk up something about PlayStation 5. And I think this was the right time for them to do that because, like you said earlier, everybody's at home, a lot of people are just watching streams, we can't go out, you know what I'm trying to say? So I think this is the right time for them to do that. That was really cool, and I'm excited for what's next from Sony. So I just want to say that, like, I don't want people to think, oh, Danny just hates the system. It's not even about that. I'm talking about, like, presentation wise it was just not there. And also that awkward audience thing at the that was kind of weird. I know there was like a bunch of Sony employees.
People weren't sure if they were real or they were like, maybe they're showing off the power of the PlayStation 5 and they're rendering them.
See, that part was weird. Like, what was the point of having them there? That was just weird. But besides that, let's go ahead. So we could.
Just the last thing on that. I understand having a camera on Cerny talking about it. Just zooming in on him. I did not need to know that I understand he would want to actually be talking directly to people. But we didn't need to see that. That was weird.
You know what it reminds me of? That show that they had on
Mystery Science Theater. Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
And they'll do commentary.
So funny. But
man.
Let me run down the actual specs of the PlayStation 5, and then I'll compare it to what the Series X is, and then I'll go into my whole spiel. So first and foremost, it has an AMD 3.5 gigahertz CPU, and it's 8 cores and 16 threads. When you compare that to the Series X at 3.8 gigahertz, 8 cores, 16 threads. So pretty close, right? You go down to the GPU shader units. PlayStation 5 is at 2304 and Series X is at 3328, right? So Series X seems to have a little bit of advantage there. When you look at compute units for the GPU, PlayStation 5 is at 36 and the Series X is at 52. Again, advantage from Series X there. You look at the pixel rate, and I'm just going to round this stuff up real quick. You're looking at about 142.9 for the PlayStation 5, 146 for the Series X. Pretty close. And then, and I'll skip that. And then you look at the GPU clock. PlayStation 5 is 2233 megahertz versus 1825 megahertz for the Series X. So PlayStation 5 is actually higher there, but less compute units in the GPU. Memory. Both are 16 gigabytes GDDR6. PlayStation 5 does not distinguish of any different clock speeds or anything. Like the Series X breaks out 10 gigabytes of it dedicated directly to gaming at a higher speed, boost speed versus the other 3.5 for gaming at a lower speed dedicated to gaming, but then 2.5 of it is dedicated directly to the OS. PlayStation 5 in this reveal didn't indicate if anything was dedicated specifically to the OS. Maybe that all depends on the devs and how they want to use it. We don't know, just simply put.
Okay.
And then I think, again, I'm not going to go through everything here. And then I think the last thing that people would be interested in is the SSD speed. The PlayStation 5 has a significant advantage here at 5.5 gigabytes per second versus the Series X at 2.4 gigabytes per second. And this was heavily rumored coming into this that they were going to see a significant speed difference. Now, I read the Digital Foundry article about the Series X, and they are doing some hardware decompression techniques that can potentially get that Series X SSD up to 6 gigabytes per second. Mark Cerny did not mention if PlayStation 5 was doing anything similar, so we don't know. So we can only look at the raw speeds, and PlayStation 5 definitely has a significant speed boost there, which, as we get deeper into the next generation, will for sure be an advantage for the PlayStation 5, because it's going to allow the devs to do certain things that they simply just cannot do right now, because they will be able to take full advantage of that speed difference. Now, that, like I said, that's just kind of just the rough comparisons between the two. Like you alluded to earlier, for all intents and purposes, both, so, you know, PlayStation 5 has its strengths, Xbox Series X has its strengths, but at the end of the day, these are very similar. They both do the RDNA 2 on the GPU, which will be a leap forward in GPU technology. Like I said, the CPUs are very similar. But again, Series X does have the quote-unquote teraflop advantage, and it is using more compute units in its GPU. But then at the same time, like I was telling you before, the GPU clock is higher in the PlayStation 5 versus the Series X. So there's plus and minuses there with both of them. Like I said, probably the most significant thing is going to be that SSD speed, you know, as far as rendering things, load times, and all that kind of stuff. So, like I said, at the end of the day, they're both very similar. I think if you pick up either one, what you're going to see is third-party games are pretty much going to be identical, right?
Yeah.
I don't really think you're going to see that much of a difference on any third-party games between the two. The exclusive games for both will be able to take advantage of certain things that the other one won't, but at the end of the day, you're going to have amazing experiences on both. So what does all this really mean at the end of the day? It's your choice. It's like you've said a million times, it comes down to the games. The gaming preference and the preference of console you want to play on when your friends are on, that's all this is really going to come down to at the end of the day.
Yep.
Except this. Mm-hmm. And this is where I think PlayStation 5 is probably going to have the advantage going into this next generation. Number one, they come out of this current generation as the clear-cut leader. People trust them. They have a kick-ass legacy IP lineup of exclusive games, right, that you know you can trust, that you know you're going to want to pick up day one. Whereas Xbox has to establish this for all intents and purposes in this next generation. Outside of Forza and Halo, they really don't have that quote-unquote established IPs that people are going to run out and buy day one. I honestly, I would not even include Gears in that, but that's an argument for another day. So the reason I say that is because the PlayStation 5 is quote-unquote the least powerful one and not doing things, because the Xbox Series X is clearly the high-powered console going into this generation, right? PlayStation 5 is the lesser. So what I think that ultimately means is Sony is going to be able to wind up delivering this under $500. I really think this thing is going to come in at $450. If not, they really push it and get it to $399, which is going to be a huge advantage for them. Because Lockhart be damned, I still say, you look at Series X, maybe it's a $600 machine. Maybe they get it down to $550, maybe they get down to $500. But PlayStation is going to be able to argue, for all intents and purposes, they have the cheaper console. Because, Microsoft can roll out Lockhart all they want and say whatever it is. But the argument PlayStation is going to be able to counter is, sure, that one's cheaper, but the PlayStation 5 is cheaper than your high-end console, and we're going to do the same exact things that your high-end console is going to do. You're going to have native 4K gaming. You're going to have 60 frames per second. You're going to have the SSD with super fast load times. You're taking advantage of RDNA 2. You're going to have hardware ray tracing. Now, there's one thing people are getting a little butthurt on social media about. Xbox Series X ray tracing will be superior to PlayStation 5 ray tracing, just for the simple fact that that GPU, they have more compute units than the PlayStation 5 does to do hardware ray tracing on that GPU. So, but again, if at the end of the day, when you're playing the games, they both look amazing and you got this advanced ray trace lighting and you're seeing all this stuff, does it matter? That's what I'm saying. To the average consumer who was bored to freaking tears watching Mark Cerny talk today, at the end of the day, if God of War 2 looks freaking amazing in 4K and at 60 frames and has ray tracing enabled, are you really going to care that the Series X does ray tracing just a little bit better, but it's also 4K and 60 frames? That's what it comes down to. It comes down to the games. If they look good visually and you're having fun playing them, that's what's going to matter. And if PlayStation it can go up on the stage and say, we're $50 to $100 cheaper than your high-end Series X, they win again. Bottom line, that's just the reality.
Here's my theory, though, Paris, about everything about that. This is what I think is going to happen next gen. And you tell me, and I said this, I think, a couple episodes ago, and let me know if you agree with me or not. I think Sony is going to sell more consoles, but I think at the end, I think Microsoft is the company that's going to make the most money. Because besides the console, also you have to add the services, like the subscription services, like Xbox Game Pass, Project S Cloud, and so on. I think Microsoft will get the most money, but I think when it comes to hardware, I think Sony is going to sell more because of what you said. Cheaper price, let's say $50 cheaper than Xbox Series X. But I could still play Halo Infinite for a year or two, all those games, on my Xbox One X, which I don't have to buy an Xbox Series X for a while. I think that's why I think Sony is also going to make the most sales when it comes to like the next gen console. Do you agree with me or not?
No, I agree with you. PlayStation 5 will outsell the Series X coming up this holiday. Again, with coronavirus and all that, if there's enough hardware to go around. I mean, that's really the only variable that we have in this. But that goes back to my original point. Mm-hmm. If someone's going to pick up brand new hardware this holiday, they're going to be more inclined to pick up a cheaper PlayStation 5 over a more expensive Series X. Now, again, Lockhart is the wild card in all this. We don't know what the specs on it are going to be. We don't know what the pricing on it's going to be. But I just say, as a gamer, we always want the biggest and the best, right? You know, I know we say the power doesn't matter, but in the case of the new Shiny, power is going to matter if I can get close to the power for a cheaper price, which is what I think the PlayStation 5 is going to be. Mm-hmm. Because I look at it this way. Let's say Series X is $500. Let's say PlayStation 5 winds up getting to $399. Let's say Lockhart is $250. Why am I going to go spend $250 on Lockhart when I might as well just go ahead and spend the $399? Or excuse me, I should say $299. Let's say Lockhart's $299. Why am I going to go spend $299 on Lockhart? I might as well just go ahead and spend the $400 and just get a PlayStation 5, because it can do everything that the $500 Series X can do.
Not only that, let's take it to this level. Paris, let's say I just want to play Halo Infinite. I don't even need to buy an Xbox Series X or Lockhart. I could just keep my original Xbox One X that I just purchased right now for $200, and I could still play Halo Infinite. I could buy that system later when it get when the price goes down in 2 years.
Yeah.
So
you're gonna be, yeah,
people are gonna do that. People are going to do that. Now, the hardcore side like us, yeah, we are gonna buy the best. We might even buy Lockhart just to try it out. And it's not gonna look, man, it's not gonna be a bad system, believe it or not. You're still gonna play all these games. You're still gonna have feature cool features and everything. It's just competition, man. It's good, man. I think I don't see Sony releasing multiple consoles. They're only going to release one. I think this Lockhart rumor, I think is true. It's real. And like you said, we are going to find out that Xbox Series X is going to be expensive. And that's when they're going to announce and show Lockhart. Maybe during the E3 digital stream or something, you know? I think that's when they're going to announce it, man. So...
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think Lockhart is a thing. It'll be curious to see if it comes out in 2020. I kind of think it does. But, I mean, you know, now that we have all the specs laid out, now we know. We know what both looks like. Like I said, they're close enough that it doesn't matter at the high end. And I agree with you. I don't see PlayStation 5 having a PlayStation 5 Pro. This is the PlayStation 5. There is no lower or higher SKU. You know what I'm saying? So... this is what they're going to go to the market with. And I think at the max, this thing is $450. I think $449.99 at the max, they're going to push as hard as they possibly can, maybe even take a loss early on to get that thing at $399, because that $399 price point has been proven over the past 7 years to sell between the PS4 and the PS4 Pro. So they can get this thing to that again. Why not? Absolutely do it. It is going to be up to Microsoft to see what they can do to compete. And the real thing is going to be, sure, you can wave that flag of having the most powerful console, which they absolutely will. But it won't matter without the games. So E3 is going to be so critical for them. Whatever this digital presentation is going to be for the Xbox E3 is going to be absolutely critical for them to show a this holiday and maybe even 2 to 3 years out roadmap of here's all the games that you can expect coming to Xbox. And I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I almost think they'd be smart to sell the fact that if the Series X is very expensive, that we're not forcing you to buy this today. I think they need to be clear that in the message. You don't have to buy this today unless you want to. If you got a PC, use that. You could look, we just saw Xbox. You can go get an Xbox One X right now from Microsoft, not some Amazon doing a discount, nothing, from the Microsoft store. Right now for $200.
Oh my God.
That's their Trojan horse. That's their Trojan horse, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That is the Trojan horse from them. Yeah. Where they can say, we're letting you get the current most powerful console in the world for $200. That's a bargain. And it's going to play Halo in 4K and all this other stuff. Sure, it doesn't do the ray tracing and all that, but it's going to look pretty no matter what. And that can hold you for a good year and a half until the price drops on the Series X. And then that's when they can tell, all right, now go get a Series X. To me, that should be the strategy for them. Strategy for PlayStation is pretty simple. It's been $399 since 2013. Here's Uncharted. Here's Spider-Man. Here's God of War. Here's The Last of Us 3. You know what I'm saying? Horizon Zero Dawn 2, on down the list. Look at all the banging games that we got for you.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep it going.
Yep.
That should be the strategy for them, I think, and they're going to be fine. Like I'll say again, I know we talk about the console war stuff is dumb and all that, but we got to talk about it because that's just the world we live in right now. You know, with the reaction we saw on social media with this today, it was ridiculous. But if there's going to be a winner, and I'm doing air quotes, it'd be hard to bet against PlayStation right now. I don't think. Look, that presentation was boring. It wasn't meant for us, but it didn't do anything to hurt them. I'll tell you that. And I'm telling you, that SSD at that speed, which that's something else to talk about. Their SSD isn't a terabyte. It's 825 gigabytes. So it is smaller. And I think that's a price cutting move. And Cerny basically confirmed that during the talk, that they made it at that size because that's what made sense for them. AKA, we're trying to keep the cost down on this thing. But they're going to allow you to get an M.2 drive off the shelf that does PCIe 4 and plug that in to extend your storage. But early on, there's no standardization on that. So make sure if you do decide to extend your storage, you find a cheap M.2 drive you want to use, that it is compatible with the PlayStation 5. Until that stuff starts to standardize out over the next year to 18 months. So again, it's going to be interesting. And remember, we've still not seen what the PlayStation 5 looks like. We've barely seen the controller. We did get information on their backwards compatibility plan.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a few.
Yeah. But we can get into that in a second. But overall, I didn't see anything that was that disappointing to me. It was pretty much what I thought it was going to be. Probably the biggest disappointment for me would be the backwards compatibility. But anything else you want to add on that?
I just want to add this, because we brought up about the Xbox One X for $200. I think that was on purpose, Paris. Out of today, out of all days,
of course, we
see that price. Come on, man. You know what I'm saying? Dude, that was a very strategic move right there.
Of course.
And it's a sign.
It's
a sign on things to come. And here's the thing, Paris. Now more than ever, we're dying to know about the price, right? But come on. You know that Phil and his team, they know that this console, PlayStation 5, is going to be cheap. Now, the discussions they're going to have behind the scenes, are they going to keep this expensive? Or are they going to put the price down knowing that they're going to have income coming in from other services and still make money if they sell this as a loss like the original Xbox? That's even possible too, Paris. That's something we have to talk about, because like you said, yes, the console might be expensive, but they know they don't want to repeat the same exact thing that happened in 2013, that Sony will say $399 and Xbox will say $499. Press-wise, it's going to look bad on them. Yes, they might have multiple consoles and everything, right? Which is going to be cheaper than this beast. Right. And maybe a little bit cheaper than the PlayStation 5, but still is bad press, because at the end of the day, people are going to see that price and they'll be like, I'm going with a cheaper console.
this goes back to, and I've said this from the jump when Lockhart was originally rumored. I personally think Lockhart is a mistake in this sense. Mm-hmm. If Lockhart exists just so that you can say you have a cheaper option than the competition, it's a mistake. PlayStation is going to compete with Xbox at the high end. The PlayStation 5 is meant to compete with the Series X, and these specs bear out that it will compete with it just fine and actually beat it in a few areas. So if that's the case, and it comes in $100 cheaper, again, this is all just pretend. We don't know nothing. But if it comes in at $100 cheaper than your high end, you've already lost, because that's where the comparison is going to be made. People aren't going to go, the average consumer isn't going to go, but there's Lockhart, so that's cheaper, so that's okay. No one's going to want Lockhart. Why would you want Lockhart? Because if you're getting it today, you would be getting it just so because it's affordable, but ultimately you're going to lust after Series X. That's what you really want, right? PlayStation 5 is going to be the thing that sits in the middle of the two and is the more reasonable thing, because it gives you everything that the Series X would give you, but at a more reasonable price. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you in this, and Phil has been on record saying this himself. He said it last year. They are price conscious. They will not make that mistake again. So what does that look like is going to be the question, and I guess we'll find out at E3. Like, I'm pretty confident the PlayStation 5 is going to be what's considered a reasonable price. They're not going to do anything crazy. I'm just dying to know what the Series X is going to cost. And I know I said a couple of days it was $600, and I keep going back and forth, and now I'm thinking maybe it's not. But I will just say, from a spec standpoint, it can easily be $600. But from if you're trying to actually make some market penetration and get people to pick up this hardware, I'm starting to think now, looking at this PlayStation 5, that'll be a mistake. Mm-hmm. Because let me say this last thing.
Yeah.
I think Sony cut corners where they needed to cut corners, but still be able to deliver a high-end machine. Whereas I think Microsoft is just, we're just going to deliver the most powerful thing we possibly can. And I don't think that they cut as many corners. But like I said, at the end of the day, Cyberpunk 2077 is going to look the same on both. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's how you got to look at it. If the games, of all the games, look great, does the extra power really matter? That's the big question. You would have to prove to me from a gaming standpoint that extra power is justified. And I don't know if they can, but we don't know until we actually see these games, you know, in person and how they look and how they run and all that kind of stuff. But just looking at the specs, I think it's close enough that it's not going to, the extra power is not going to matter.
Yeah, we'll find out during E3 if these prices are going to be cheap or not, man. But either way, man, I'm excited for next gen, man. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be,
Going to be
a lot of fun. How it should be. And here's the thing, too, that everybody's listening to this right now. You have options now, man. Before, we didn't have that many options. Now, if you're a fan of God of War and all these PlayStation games, you should be excited for this system. If you're also a fan of Halo and Gears and all these games that's coming out for Xbox Series X, you have options, man. That's the great thing about this, man. Great thing about it, man. So at the end of the day, man, yes, these systems are very, very powerful, but show me the price, show me the games, then we'll talk. Because right now, all this to me is just blah, 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 in my opinion, because you could have the best, most powerful console, but if you don't have the content, that system is just a waste. Just a waste. My opinion. So,
if you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
But I know, Paris, you said that you were disappointed on one thing from Sony. Why was that about?
Well, I know we joke about like with hip hop game and all that, and shout out to him because we love him. And you know, we did the video up in San Francisco about the quote unquote remastering engine.
Yeah, yeah.
But like I had said from jump, I believed him with what he was saying because it just would be a smart decision by Sony to have backwards compatibility all the way back potentially to the PlayStation 1. And what we're finding out today is there is PlayStation 4 backwards compatibility. And I've always said from the jump, at a minimum, they better have that, which they do. Mm-hmm. But it's not 100% across the board. They say they've tested it with the top 100 games. And, you know, they're obviously working and iterating it as we move along towards launch, which is fine. But it's still a little disappointing to see that. And I know the cell processor and all that is a limitation here, that we're not getting PlayStation 3 and even some PlayStation 2 games as a part of this to be backwards compatible on there, which makes me wonder, are they going to try and monetize all this stuff and continue to do it through PlayStation Now, things like that? We just don't know. I mean, we won't know until we get more information on it. But on the surface, it's disappointing that the backwards compatibility isn't going beyond the PlayStation 4 on PlayStation 5. But hey, at least they met the minimum for it, that obviously all your most popular games on PlayStation 4 will be playable on PlayStation 5. And we've still not heard about newer games. Again, I'll just use Cyberpunk as an example. Buy Cyberpunk on PlayStation 5, mm-hmm. on PlayStation 4. Am I good on PlayStation 5? We don't know. They've not. But again, we know more information is coming. Again, this conversation from Mark Cerny was not about all that stuff. But I really hope the next time they release information, they address that if, again, I'm sure The Last of Us 2 and the first party Sony stuff that launches now on PlayStation 4 will translate over, but what about the third party stuff, games that are starting to come out now? What's the quote unquote upgrade plan for that? Again, if I buy the new Assassin's Creed on PlayStation 4 and then a couple months later I get a PlayStation 5, am I good or do I have to buy it again? What are we doing?
That could hurt them.
Those are the questions they got to answer.
That could hurt them. If they don't promote this, if they don't mention that, you know,
because again, kudos to Microsoft or Xbox. They've already laid out smart delivery on how they're handling that. You don't need to worry on Series X. They've already made that clear. You know, obviously CD Projekt Red stepped up immediately and said, from a third party standpoint, we're supporting it. We're good. So you don't have to worry. Mm-hmm. I just want to hear if Sony's doing a similar thing. That's all. And I'm sure they are. I think they personally would be insane not to. But until they say it, you don't know. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. There was people that I read online just saying like, oh my God, Xbox has more teraflops. And I'm like, does that really matter though at the end of the day though, man? Like, Paris, for you, does that really matter? Because I'm not a specs guy at all. For you, is that something that you care about?
Repeat that so I make sure I understand correctly.
Because they're saying that Xbox has more teraflops than the PlayStation 5.
No, I don't care. I honestly don't care. And that's my point. 12 teraflops versus 10 teraflops. Does it matter? Really? Is it really going to matter? Because let's be honest here. The people that are arguing about this on social media don't even know what a freaking teraflop is. And Cerny made it clear that, in a nutshell, not all teraflops are created equal. They will utilize the power of their GPU in a unique way than what Microsoft potentially could do and the developers on there. So it's like you don't know until a game is actually in front of you and you're playing. All I know is this. PlayStation 4 games, Uncharted, Spider-Man, God of War, and all that, they look freaking amazing, even on the base PlayStation 4. Forget the Pro. So it tells me they know what they're doing when they're making games.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not worried. I'm honestly not worried about it having two less teraflops and like this is going to ruin the experience of the game. Dude, it's not. It's going to be fine.
It's not.
It's absolutely going to be fine. I'm not worried at all.
It's the same thing when the whole conversation about, oh man, PlayStation 4 could do 1080, Xbox One can't. You remember that conversation?
Oh, I remember because people still mad to this day at us about talking about that stuff, which is hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I didn't really care about that back then. I was like, I don't really care. I don't know. It didn't really in my experience. I was still playing games, and I even purchased a PlayStation 4 and play games there too.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, not to have, you know, go too far back in time with that. I think a lot of people are still upset about that. You know, even more specifically, me and Mandy, because what I was saying then was the fact that Sony was going to use that as a marketing tool against Xbox because they're going to go, not only are we $100 cheaper, but we're the more powerful console at the same time. And we can do this at 1080p, whereas they can't do this, and blah, 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 blah. And history has shown that did hurt them. I think this time around, if the resolution is the same, the frames per second are the same, and they both do all the same thing, but one's cheaper, again, this is where price matters more so than power. And ultimately, that's what always mattered, is the price. PlayStation 4 won last generation because of piss poor marketing by Microsoft. They had a bad message, and they were $100 more expensive. And they forced you to get a camera that nobody wanted. That's why they lost. This time, it looks like they're both going to be in a more even playing field. And the big differentiating factor is going to be price. So that's what we got to look at coming into this one. What is the price going to look like? And again, I still say PlayStation has the advantage this time because they have the established gaming library. Whereas Microsoft, like I said, still has to prove it to us that all these studio acquisitions are going to pay off and that they're going to have some amazing games. So that's why this E3 is so critical for them to show the roadmap of games.
Totally agree. And because of all this conversation we were having back in 2013, this is why we have the consoles now, like this Xbox One X. We have all these services. We have a PlayStation 4 Pro, now PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X. All this was because what happened back then, the conversation, the debates that everybody was having from 2013, both companies learned from their mistakes and made the product better based on the feedback from people and everything. And I think that this time around, we're going to feel and see like this is a really true next-gen console instead of how was it back then when we saw these consoles and these games. It was like, oh, it's a new console, but it didn't feel like next gen. So I think we're like in a good path, man. As a consumer, just as a fan of games, we're going in the good path, I think, man. So now my last question to you, Paris, my last question: who do you think, now where all this specs already announced, who do you think is going to announce the price first?
Microsoft. I do. Why? Because
Why
I think they, because I don't think they do it at E3.
So you think that PlayStation is not going to announce anything. They're going to wait for Microsoft, like the rumor has been saying for the past few weeks now.
I don't think they say anything until after Microsoft says something. And I think the pressure is on Microsoft to say something at E3 because they have the established, here's when we're going to make our big reveal. So we know when they're doing theirs. PlayStation ain't said nothing. They ain't said they're saying anything else. You know, we have no idea when their next time they're going to talk. So they can wait. And it's a smart move. Why would you say something ahead of Xbox? No, there's no reason to.
I agree. And here's the thing, Paris. If when we had Phil on the show and he said that now the company is doing bold moves, I think announce the price, make it cheaper. If you're really confident about your product, and then just show the games. Show the games and tell us why the consumer should buy this console. Or make us subscribe to Xbox Game Pass or Project S Cloud. Tell us why. If you don't show us why, there's no need for us to subscribe or even to buy the console. Because I know Sony is going to show the right games that's going to make everybody go crazy online. And it's going to trend and people are going to buy it. Like how Nintendo's been doing it, they could care less what Xbox or PlayStation has been doing it. They show their games. They have the price. Here, buy it. And people will buy it. Even if the game is not graphically amazing compared to the other consoles, it still sells, man. Animal Crossing, for example, is coming out in a couple of days, man. By the time you hear this, it's going to be out. People are excited about that game because Nintendo are great at just getting the crowd excited about the games, not about the console. So that's the thing that I would like to see from Xbox and from Sony too, because Sony has done some mistakes too throughout the years, man, showing the same games or announcing games way too early, which I know a couple of already execs mentioned that from Sony. That's one of their mistakes, and this time around they don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying? But they did, look, Sony just needs that one game to get people excited, and they'll go and buy it on day one. And also spring launch releases for both companies, because I remember if you take it back on the, I think it was like during the Xbox 360 launch, they had Perfect Dark, Forza. They also had. Was it Forza? I can't remember. It was Project Gotham Racing, sorry. And also Kamen, right? But months later, especially during spring, dude, Oblivion and all these amazing games that came around. Ghost Recon. Yo, mic drops everywhere. So I think that's what Sony and Xbox need to do for spring. Show us games that's coming out around that time too, man. And get us super excited. And maybe tease on something that's coming out 2021 holiday season. A game or two. That's it. Hype us up. You know, so anything else, Paris, before we wrap this up, man? This was a great conversation. I like this conversation.
Yeah, good conversation. I mean, hey, you know, just day three of quarantine, man. I'm still married, so hang it in there.
Yeah. And you're still streaming and playing games here and there whenever you get the chance, you know?
Yeah. Just making the best of a unfortunate situation is all you can do.
Yeah, exactly. So everybody is listening to this now. Make sure to go to twitch.tv/gamertagradio because I'm planning to play now because I fixed my app and everything. It looks sometimes better now. But I'm planning to stream Phantasy Star Online 2, Doom Eternal. I'm also planning to stream that. Can't wait to show that to the world. That's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to be recording on Sunday, man, Sunday morning. If not, I might make some changes because I might record a podcast with my brother about Phantasy Star Online 2. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes because I'm trying to figure things out for us to record. You know what I'm saying? Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio episode 1012. This is Danny, and we have here El Señor Paris Lily. Until next time, we're out. Take care, yo. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Because if it's 600,
yeah,
then they have to have Lockhart. They have to. But if they can get it, if they can get it to five, I think they'll be okay. Then get it to five.
But even if Sony, even if Sony Paris, Sony goes,
I really don't think they're going to get it. $450, that's fine. They can argue $50. But if it's $399 and $499, that's going to be tough.
That's brutal. That's brutal.
They can argue $50 though. I could stand on a stage and justify why it's $50 more.
But you see what I'm coming from though, right, Paris? About Phil and his team, they know that this console is going to be cheap, so they're going to make it cheap. Not release Lockhart in 2020, release in 2021, so people have an option to make it cheaper. Because I think that's the time where a lot of the gamers are still like undecided if they should upgrade because they're playing Halo Infinite and all these other games that came out throughout the year, right? But now this will be an introduction for them to say, hey, look, we have Lockhart. Now you can play all these next-gen consoles, all these games that we've been talking about now for a year or two. Now you can start playing it too on Lockhart and on Xbox Series X. You could play these games too using our streaming services on Xbox One X or any other device. But if you want true, true experience without streaming, you could play. You have to buy Lockhart, the cheapest one. That's what I think is going to happen. Now, keep Xbox Series X cheaper and make that loss, that make that money from the services, I think they will be fine. Yo, if they're confident and they want to do some bold moves, Paris, I think they have to do that, man. Just to bring back that excitement of people like, oh my God, they buy the games, they buy the console, and so on. That's my opinion. That's what I think.
Yeah. I think you're right. All right. We shall see.
I recorded that part so people could know. Paris said, Danny is right. It's all good.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.